It's about not allowing failure to be something negative in your life. It's about not allowing somebody walking into your office going, hey, I see you're $10,000 behind the leader of this thing, to affect you from the perspective of, oh yeah, let me show you. But to sit back and say, man, that's exciting. Good for them.
Welcome to the Sales Experience Podcast, the show for salespeople and sales leaders, where we help you create the ideal sales experience to generate raving fan customers. Grab your notepad and get ready for actionable steps you can use to change sales from a dirty word to an act of service for your prospects. Now for your host, Jason Cutter.
Welcome back to the Sales Experience Podcast. Welcome to part two of my conversation with the amazing Dale Dupree. If you haven't, check out part one. Listen to all of these episodes, even if it's binging them back to back. Make sure to catch all of this, because he and I are on the same path, the same mission of changing the way that sales is done. He has his style, I have my style, and I love the similarities and the differences. And I think anything we can do to help anybody in sales be more effective, that's what we're focused on. So here you go, part two, enjoy.
Most salespeople sit around and go, I hit President's Club 16 times in a row, and those are their bragging rights. I got to be able to be a part of the bigger picture of a man making an impact on a community that will never be the same because of what he did.
And I think that is all about legacy and the things that matter the most. And I'm so glad that you shared that story, because it's so impactful. And people listening to might be like, well, what does this have to do with sales? But then you hit it at the end, right? It's about the individuals and helping people and relationships and doing what's right for them and helping somebody get to a better place with your product or service, just with the conversation, right? Sometimes it's, yes, you're selling them something. Could be a copier, whatever. A copier is a copier. But what are you bringing to it as a person? And then how is that more important than the President's Club in your life, right? President's Club, all those trophies, everything can be good. It's important to get some people really focus on that. And there's nothing negative, but how does that fit? What is the overall picture?
Agreed, 100%. So I think that that's what sales reps have to ask themselves. Even leaders and managers as well too, like, what is my goal? Am I gonna be here for 25 years and then check out? And my name will be up on the wall for a bunch of people that come in behind me and don't even know who I was and don't even care? Or am I gonna be somebody that truly impacts the next generations and that people say, who's that? Oh, that's the copier warrior. Let me tell you about that dude, right? Because that's what I look to build. And when people say the name of the copier warrior, I hope that they think of my father and they think of what he enabled me to build for myself that then translated into the company that I work for, that I'll tell you right now, if I would have started there, I don't think they would have ever been like, yeah, do that. Yeah, have a personal brand, run with it, right? But since I had already developed it and I had so much success, man, I'll tell you this is a crazy thought. I don't think any of them believed my numbers when they looked at my dad's books. I don't think any of them believed. I think that they were like, yeah, this is daddy's little pet and he does what daddy says. But within the first fiscal year of us getting bought, so we got bought at the end of 2012, I spent the next 3 months basically finishing my year, which technically I hit $1 million because I was at 880,000 with my father. And then I wrote another 150, but I never counted it. I was like, I wrote it. When people ask, what'd you write this year? I would say either I said 150 or I would say 880. Right. But then the next year I was at the top of the leaderboards in 2013. I was the number one rep. I won all the accolades, the trips. I won the offshoot stuff. For the next 30 days, if you do these 10 things, and the reason that I was beating everybody and winning was not because I was driven and motivated by stuff and that I wanted to have my name up on that wall. It was because my father gave me something so much bigger to look forward to in my sales walk, and I craved the human interaction and I craved the ability to be able to challenge myself because I'm an athlete as well too. When someone would say, in the next 30 days, do this, I wasn't just calling up random customers and getting it done. I was calling up people that I had built a relationship with and had been working alongside of for quite some time and earning a space at the fireplace with a glass of whiskey with them. Something more intimate than just selling them a copier. And that's why copier sales to me was so much bigger than just the box, as they like to say. Because it was a window into a more intimate, romantic relationship with people from a platonic standpoint. But I don't think we use the word love enough anymore either, bro. I loved my prospects. I loved my clients. I loved my dad. I loved the company that he built and developed over 29 years. And I loved the men that he sold to. even with the things that I didn't agree with inside of the company or the couple heads I butted with, I love those people too. Even if I talk smack about them sometimes, I do it out of love. I do it because I hope that they have a better life more than anything. And when you can be that, when you can start thinking from that perspective, you change the game. And when the game has been changed, it never goes back to anything normal or the same.
So couple things as you're talking about it. The first thing, I know you well enough to know over the last year and a half since we first talked, is that all of this and what people hopefully are hearing is that it's not about you beating everyone else. It's not about you beating something else or like some kind of outside external goal. It feels to me like it's all just a game you're playing with yourself, right? It's you versus yourself and what can you do and what can you sell and who can you impact. It's not about I'm gonna go beat Charlie because I just wanna be the best and I need my name at the top. It's about you playing your game for your reasons.
Yes, 100% agreed that I had a lot of demons to overcome in my walk. I had a lot of things that I needed to get past even and struggles that I even have to this day that I have to fight. And so every moment was the challenge to myself of, will you hear the call? Will you heed the call? And so it's the concept, number one, of being willing, right? Are you willing? But number two, can you trust? Can you trust yourself? Do you love yourself enough to trust the decisions that you're making? Even if they lead to something bad, do you then beat yourself up? Or do you say it's okay because I trust you and I know that this will lead to something bigger? It's about not allowing failure to be something negative in your life. It's about not allowing somebody walking into your office going, hey, I see you're $10,000 behind the leader of this thing to affect you from the perspective of, oh yeah, let me show you. But to sit back and say, man, that's exciting. Good for them. I know how much that means to them. I know how much it means for them to beat me. Just like I knew what it meant for me to beat other people at some point. Because it was about this. It was about me. It wasn't about them. It was about, can you do it, dude? Are you capable? I think that that's a big piece of the puzzle in life in general. But when you're young and you just get into sales and you hear about the $30,000 commission check, hell, the $150,000 commission check, you're like, huh, yeah, right. That's not a thing. I'll never have that. Those are the types of thoughts that go through your head, especially after that first cold call that you make when someone picks up the phone. And you're like, oh my God, I got a decision maker. And you start scrambling your words and fumbling on everything and get hung up on. And you think, oh my God, I can A, never call this person again. B, I'm ruining my reputation. C, that sucked. D, I never want to do this again, right? You go through this whole entire opposite of what the affirmation should be of sales. And it's because of the way that we live our sales life, right? We set ourselves up for that failure because all we're focused on in that call, appointment, close something. Appointment, close something. What about just connecting with people at the beginning? What about sitting back and saying, my first call, cold call, is not going to be good. I have a Chloe Ravina. She's one of my students and she's working in Melbourne, Florida at a company, a local company. And her first cold call, I said, listen, if you start messing it up, just tell them. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them where you're at. Be honest. And she did. She started messing it up. She goes, oh my God, I got to be honest. This is my literally first cold call ever. I'm surprised you even picked up the phone. She sold that deal and she's with a marketing agency. It was a $46,000 package. And anybody in a marketing agency that's listening right now is like, yo, that's very nice.
One thing I've seen is that salespeople worry about only being able to win if they use manipulation, tricks, tactics, and hard closes. So they end up struggling to close deals, make their quota, or earn the kind of money that they want to make. If this sounds like your current situation, or maybe you want to make more money in sales without feeling like you're selling, then my upcoming book called Selling with Authentic Persuasion will help. In it, I'm going to take you on a journey to transform from order taker to quota breaker. If you're ready to become an authentic persuader, crush your goals, and create success in your sales career, then go to jasoncutter.com. Again, that's jasoncutter.com and pre-order the book today.
That's her.
Well, it's about that authentic piece, right? And this is the toughest thing to get through to people who have either raised themselves in a certain way or been raised in sales in a certain way, right? By managers or trainers. Is that prospects and prospective customers, clients, those kind of people, they want to work with somebody who's true and authentic and real and cares, and they want to buy. People want to buy. They need help. If you're selling, let's say like your past or even her, right? Selling marketing solutions, that company, if it's going to help them, they want it. and they want to work with someone they can trust. And the best way to trust somebody is to know what kind of actual person you're dealing with. I would say most of the time people freak out if somebody's too perfect. I don't know if you've ever had that in your career, but I have to watch out for that all the time. If I'm too perfect and too slick and too smooth, I got to be careful because it'll freak people out, right? Because their defenses will go up.
Agreed. And I think that that comes down to the psychology of interactions with people, especially first interactions. And that typically that person has burned them at some point in their life. Too good to be true concept, right? And it's a very viable argument as well too, because it is an existence. The snake oil salesman is a real thing. The slick talking politician that works their way to the top is a real thing. And then all the things, the trouble that come along with it too. Those are things that a lot of people stay away from. They don't want anything to do with. So it's a very good statement and a very valid point. We need to talk about these types of things more in sales. People tend to just ignore it because at some point they hit a crossroads where they can tell a little white lie and they don't ever want to be in a position where they can't do that because it might lose them the sale, right? It might cause them a $10,000 commission where they could have just, it'll do that. And then in their mind thinking, they'll never try to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But then one day they try to do it and they're like, I thought you said it did this. Oh gosh, you must have misheard me. I didn't say that. It's such a dark hole, right? It really is what you bring up on that point. But I think that that's why people typically tend to stay away from talking about it because they want to be able to use it as a backup at some point.
Yeah. And it's interesting, earlier you were talking about loving your prospects and loving people and us not using that word as much, especially in business, in sales. Tell me your thoughts about, I've had times where I've talked to somebody wanting to sell them. It's a perfect fit. They need what I have. I've done everything I can. They haven't bought. And I feel like I've failed them. And I care about them so much. I feel bad that they didn't buy.
Yeah. So when I hear all that, one of the things I like to go to is, have you ever had someone in your life that you loved that you just couldn't get to the place that they needed you to be? You couldn't quite do what it was that they were asking of you. You tried, but you didn't quite get there. Did they come back to you and say, I don't love you anymore? Did they come back to you and say, you suck? And furthermore, for us as the sales professional, sometimes it's out of love that we allow people to buy from somebody else in the first place, right? And I shouldn't say allow, like we enable people to buy from somebody else in the first place. It's out of love that we sit back and say, we clash a little bit, or we have a different personality, or my product ain't gonna do what you needed to do to the extent that you wanted. And even though you love me and like me even, I'm not gonna take advantage of that. That's what true love is. True love is the back seat. True love is not the leader that's out in front taking credit for everything, or the one behind driving the results. True love is the person that puts their arm and clasps it against the one right next to them and says, I'm on this journey with you. So being on the journey with your buyer and not in front or behind your buyer, being on the journey in general in life, in that moment is what really makes a difference. My dad used to say this. He used to say, the most important thing is what we do when the door is closed, not what other people can see. That's true love. The idea of sitting back one day and saying, what if I just wrote the check anonymously instead of trying to get some kind of recognition for it and being okay with that? Because we know the impact that it'll make on somebody else, and seeing the impact that it'll make is much better than being recognized for it.
All right, that's it for part two. Again, make sure to subscribe so you can catch episodes every single day. And I will see you tomorrow for the third installment of my conversation with Dale. That's it for another episode of the Sales Experience Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you find yourself on iTunes, can you leave the show a rating and a review? It helps other salespeople and sales leaders find the show. And please subscribe to the show and share episodes you find valuable with anyone you know in sales. Help me on my mission of changing the way sales is done. And if you're ready to work together, go to jasoncutter.com. Again, that's jasoncutter.com to find out how I can help you or your company create scalable sales success. I will see you on the next Sales Experience Podcast episode. And keep in mind that everything in life is sales, and people will remember the experience you gave them.